to PCMC Pop Culture Man Children. I'm your host, Mike Bongiorno. I'm here today with my good friend, Mr. Vin Forte. Vin,
hello.
How you doing?
Oh, it's a week.
Mm-hmm. It certainly is. So,
did you see the big news? They killed that squirrel.
I know, and I tell you, I go outside and everyone seems sad about it.
I know. It's like the whole world. I'm walking around Lower East Side. Everyone just down in the dumps. I go up to people. I'm like, come on.
Yeah.
There'll be more squirrels.
Yeah. Look, we've got through squirrels dying before. We could get through it again.
Yeah. We know there are corrupt animal control out there.
Yeah.
There's bad apples everywhere. Like they're going to kill some squirrels, and it's not right.
Yeah.
But you don't stop giving peanuts to the squirrels.
Right.
Because of it.
All right, the metaphor is getting thin. So this is the first episode. It's been a few weeks since the presidential election, but this is the first episode that we are recording after the election. So this is the first episode where we know that Trump won the election. So this is a Star Trek episode. We're going to talk about Star Trek 2009, directed by J.J. Abrams. I think Star Trek is a great episode to do right now, because it imagines a future, and it imagines a bright future. Since the election, I've actually been doing a rewatch of Strange New Worlds, Vin.
Oh.
Strange New Worlds. Look, I as we all know, I'm new to Star Trek fandom. I have never seen Voyager, Discovery, Enterprise, Next Gen, Deep Space Nine. I've basically just seen all the movies, the original series, all of Strange New Worlds, and Lower Decks. But I think Strange New Worlds is my favorite thing of Star Trek as of what I've seen now.
Yeah, it's good. Like, it's
optimistic.
It's fun.
It's very
it's not
optimistic.
Afraid to be fun.
Yeah, it's got the vibes a little. It's the closest, I think, to the original show. It's very episodic. It's got the fun vibes, but it's also like it's got contemporary humor in it, and it's just really, really palatable, I think, for anybody.
Yeah, what I like about it is it does do a good job of sort of taking elements from the past, but not like trying to go, okay, we're going to do the original series, but just in 2023.
Right. Yeah, I agree.
And some of the things that people like have nitpicked about it, I don't understand. Like when people go, there's too much, they're trying to put too much humor in it. It's like, there's always kind of been humor in Star Trek.
Yeah, humor's good. See, the thing I want to say is that if you're a pop culture child like me, turning to fandom in times like this, I think is totally fine. It doesn't mean burying your head in the sand. It doesn't mean not fighting. It doesn't mean not being aware. But, you know, the things that give our lives meaning and the things that we love are, at least for me, fandom and movies and TV and sci-fi and horror and things like that. And I naturally turn to these things when I'm sad. When Trump won the election and I felt very hopeless, I was like, I've got to watch some Star Trek. And it helped. And hopefully listening to PCMC will help. We're going to be just talking about the same silly shit we always talk about. I just want to make clear that I'm not saying everything's great. Everything's going to be all right. I don't know how things are going to be. I'm also a cisgendered white guy, so my experience is different from everyone else's. But I just invite you to spend some time with PCMC and think about, you know, the future and fun stuff like that.
Yeah, and if you're on Twitter/X, whatever they're calling it now, go to Blue Sky. Blue Sky is way more fun.
What's Blue Sky?
Blue Sky is an open source app that is basically, it was founded with basically the original creator of Twitter, that guy Jack Dorsey, he cashed out some of his money from Twitter and used it to create Blue Sky.
Oh.
Which is like, it's like what Twitter used to be.
That's incredible. Yes, do that.
So like a lot of, and I've noticed because a lot of people have been jumping over to Blue Sky in the past week, and there have been people there this whole time, It just it's been it's obviously a much smaller community. Maybe that community is going to grow a little bit more now. But I kept describing it to people as like genuinely cozy because there's just like a lot of quality of life things on it that it's like the real Twitter should have this. Like I was just like I just posted a video on Blue Sky and the video plays in like if you're in the app and you play the video, it'll play in your feed instead of forcing you to like go out to YouTube where like YouTube's gonna get your cookie information, whatever. Like and when you ban someone, you just stop seeing their stuff, full stop. And
Good.
that's a big thing. And there's no algorithm. So your
Oh,
feed
okay.
is just like your that's a huge thing. Like your feed is your friends in the order that they post stuff. There is a discovery feed that shuffles it a little bit
Yeah.
based on like what's hot and what's not, but it's all in your feed. It's like what you choose to see.
That's
Like one
awesome.
of the like just to put a point on it, like one of the big things going on X in the past month was Elon Musk changed the block feature so that when you block someone, it doesn't mean that you can't see their that they can't see your stuff anymore.
That's fucking ridiculous.
They can still see your stuff, but you just can't interact with each other. They can't comment on your stuff. They can't DM you.
Yeah, you know
So
what? I'm so happy
obviously,
that I
like,
was never a Twitter guy. I never got into it, and now that it's a fucking cesspool owned by an asshole, I'm like good. I'm glad. I don't have to miss it.
yeah, because it's like all these people, because they're claiming that oh, the reason they do that is because they want freedom of information. Like, oh, they don't want people just like blocking stuff that they don't want to see, like politically to shut themselves out. Like they want you to see, but it's all just a ruse to see Trump stuff.
Right, of course, of
Because they want
course.
you to see the Trump stuff. And then of course the big elephant in the room, like, if some creep is, still able to see a woman's photos,
Disgusting.
like the block button means nothing now to that
Right.
person. Because like they're still gonna go and creep out on your photos.
Great. Fuck Elon Musk. Fuck everybody. And you
Fuck
know
that
what?
weird bus he just came out with. Like, what is that? Like,
I have no idea.
do you see that weird like bus he came out with?
No, is it look like the Cybertruck?
It looks like the Rocketeer's helmet. Like, it looks fucking like, I would
Oh
implore you
my
to
God.
look it up. It's so stupid.
All right. Well, you know what? Let's move on to a brighter future.
Yeah.
Today we are continuing our journey through Star Trek, and
Jumping all the way to 2009.
we are finally at Star Trek from 2009, written by Robert Orci and Alex Kurtzman, who's sort of like the head honcho at Star Trek now. He's
Yeah.
produced every show since this movie. Directed by J.J. Abrams, score by Michael Giacchino. This is a great movie. And you know what's interesting? When it was first marketed and released, it was sort of marketed to us as like, this is a reboot, this is a whole new thing. But really, within the story, it's not. It's part of the continuity, and since this movie, it's actually had a big effect on continuity. So it originally felt like this outlier, but now it doesn't anymore.
And it also set the table for the soft reboot that would
Yes.
happen with a lot of movies like in the ensuing 10 years. But like I don't
Yes.
think anyone's done it better than Star Trek with
Yeah.
2000 because basically what Star Trek 2009 does is it starts out like in the Star Trek Prime universe with Leonard Nimoy as the Spock we all know and love, and he's being chased by this like evil Romulan guy. Like it's one of those stories where like the villain's not really the most important thing. But like being chased by Romulans, and they end up going through a wormhole into the what they call now the Kelvin universe, which is the one from the reboot. So now they're in the Kelvin universe, and already they're like, this is going to be different, and we're popping things off right away because once they get in there, they destroy Vulcan.
There's a scene in this movie where Zachary Quinto's Spock basically says it very clearly to the audience. He says, like, our timeline has changed. Whatever our destinies were are not going to unfold the way that they did. So basically, like, it's amazing because, like, what we don't like about reboots is, like, when we love continuity. And this movie's kind of like, hey, everything in Star Trek happened the way that we showed you originally. We're not changing anything, but this is another timeline where it's going to happen differently.
Yeah, like all the same, even though, and I know you're with me on this, like you don't need to give an explanation for a reboot. It's just all
No.
stories.
Right.
But like in a time when, fandom and is, whatever, like I guess they felt the need to be like, hey, let's calm down the babies.
Yeah.
Let's actually give them a reason. And if you're going to give people a reason, this was like this is kind of the best way to do it. They literally, because again, you're right. They literally were like, everything is still intact.
Yeah.
And we're even giving you an olive branch to that universe with Ambassador Spock and Leonard
I
Nimoy.
wish.
God,
And
imagine.
Leslie Nielsen as Spock.
I'm shocked he didn't do a like space parody in his day.
I mean, he's in Forbidden Planet.
That's true.
Yeah,
That
you
is
know,
true. But
it's
yeah.
amazing. Like, you know how we get the audience to believe that Chris Pine is Kirk? We have Leonard Nimoy right there as Spock calling him Kirk, right?
Yes.
Of course he's Kirk. Spock just called him Kirk. That's Spock. You know Spock. He just called him Kirk. And now
It's
you.
almost like Spock is there to give you permission to
Yes.
like these new characters. Like,
Yes.
because there's definitely people out there that if they hadn't done that would have been like, eh, I kind of like it, but it's not the thing I know. And it's like, no, here's the guy. Even more than Shatner is Kirk, Leonard Nimoy is Spock, is like the guy
Right.
that's like beloved in the franchise, and
And I think
he's the
it's,
one telling you that
yeah.
this is okay.
And I think it's smart that they had him in this instead of William Shatner.
Yeah, I don't, it would not have, I don't see that going well.
Yeah, right, because he's such a weird guy. It's like, well, it's a little bit like Han Solo in The Force Awakens, which obviously is the same director. Like, it's better to have like a kind of the most important not protagonist, so we can buy
Yeah.
into the new protagonist.
Right, because if Luke's there, you're just gonna be like, well, I want to see more of Luke.
Right, that's why Luke's really not in The Force Awakens, but in every draft he came in later and later. Like originally he did come in halfway through, but they said that they kept having this problem that once Luke came in, like no one would care about Rey anymore. So they had to just keep pushing him and pushing him and pushing him, and then make it Rian Johnson's problem.
Yeah. Well, it's funny we talk about Star Wars because the biggest sort of elephant in the room with this movie is that it succeeded by making Star Trek like a little more like Star Wars.
Yes.
It was a little more like a little more action-packed, a little more dynamic,
Right.
and like everyone kind of walked out of that movie being like, this is the guy, like if they're gonna bring back Star Wars, which wasn't around at the time, like this is kind of the guy to do it.
Yeah. But you know, there was at the time and still now strong critics of this movie.
Oh yeah, but those
Especially.
people are kind of babies. Like, because I like if someone can come to me with a legitimate criticism about what the movie set out to accomplish, not what you wanted,
Right.
because there's plenty of people out there that are like, and I know the big criticism is like, well, it dumbed down Star Trek. Okay, Mr. Highfalutin, like everything's got ha go throughout. Let's parse out every episode of every piece of Star Trek history. And let's see how many things don't make sense.
Sure, right. I think, well, remember at the time J.J. Abrams was like, I'm not really a Star Trek fan, which I think did not win him a lot of supporters,
No, but
although
if you're a true fan of Star Trek, like you know that Nicholas Meyers wasn't a fan of Star Trek.
that's right. Watching it again today, and I've seen it a bunch of times because it is a super fun movie. Watching it again today, my only real criticism is some of the way Kirk acts is super 2009, like wanting to buy Uhura a drink and she says no and he just keeps trying anyway, or he grabs her tits. Like, he's really kind of like gross in this.
Yeah.
It feels like they leaned into that one part of Kirk super hard. He's like Zach Morris more than he's like Captain Kirk, and it's a little bit like, oh, this is very 2009.
Yeah, I could see that. They definitely made him erred on the side of like, oh, this is a young Kirk. This is a Kirk that doesn't really know the rules yet.
Right,
And that
right,
was
right.
their sort of shorthand to show that he's like super immature.
Right. But
Like
I
when he
see.
beats the code, like I will grant you that there's some touches that like don't feel right. Like there's this like one of the small things to me, if I did have a nitpick, was there's a part where he beats the Kobayashi Maru, which you're not supposed to beat because it's supposed to be like this test that you take where the quote unquote answer is you sacrifice the ship for the betterment of winning the battle. And he tricks it so that he wins. And there's
But
a
he
part where
said
he's
he
like,
did say that in Wrath of Khan.
he did right, but he said it in Wrath of Khan. In the 2009 movie, he's like eating an apple and like showboating afterwards. He's like he's got a swagger to him that I think is like I could see as being a little off.
My criticism is not, I'm not coming from a point of view of saying I don't think that's Kirk. Like, I'm not gonna go, that's not Kirk.
No.
My criticism is just like, that's not cool. Like, and I think the
Yeah.
movie wants us to be like, wow, this guy is so fucking cool. He's doesn't matter what's going on. He stops and says, "Hey, lady." He literally at one point says, "Hey, ladies," to a bunch of women walking by, and it's like, all right, 2009, we get it.
Here's a nitpick on a runner that I've heard people complain about. I do not have a complaint about this, for the record, but I've heard a lot of people complain about the use of the song Sabotage in that movie.
Yeah, I
And
have
then
no
they use
problem with
it in
that.
each movie afterwards. And the reason that I don't mind it is one, because it's still in the far future. Who's to say that they're not listening to, like, in First Contact, they listened to fucking Roy Orbison at
Right,
one
it would
point.
be a classic song. Why not?
Yeah, and then also it is like for real hardcore fans, like the deep cut of them using that song is because Kirk always mispronounced the word sabotage.
Yes, he said it wrong, and then someone corrected him, and he decided instead of admit being wrong, he would dig his heels in and say it wrong for the rest of his life.
Yeah.
It's also a touch of J.J. Abrams, because J.J. Abrams loves the Beastie Boys. BB-8 from Star Wars is named after the Beastie Boys.
Yeah.
There's also a character, a pilot in The Force Awakens, called Ello Asti after Ello Nasty.
Yeah.
So it's a director's choice. I have no problem with that. I have no problem with like the lens flares, although again it makes me feel like boys is 2009. But you know, I
Oh
had a
yeah, that is an interesting, just to jump on the style of the movie for a second. Like, it is very 2009. I like it. In retrospect, the whole ship looks like a fucking Apple store.
yeah, the camera,
And especially when you look at the sets of Strange New Worlds now, it's like that was good for 2009, but like this right here was Strange New, like this is what it should look like.
Well, actually, I was going to say, I think the production design is very similar, but the cinematography is way less extreme. I actually think that, again, like it seemed very much like an outlier at first, but because I watched it, but I've also been watching Strange the World. So it's like you can see them exist in the same world. The problem for me, and it's not a problem, but it just stands out as super, super J.J. Abrams, like all the crazy Dutch angles and. The he's
Yeah, the
obviously using
running, everyone's always
yeah
running.
he's using Steadicam, but in a very loose way, so it's just like there's never not movement on the screen. He's so afraid of a moment of someone stopping. It's just movement, 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 which is fine, but
Right, because
it's
that's
so easy to
also
make
the.
fun of at this point, like the
It
lens
is,
flares.
but honestly, like, that's also the strength of this movie, is that you're always going from one thing to the next. Like, there's never not something propelling you forward. Like this happened, like there's an explosion which causes this person to go to this place and meet up with this person. And now that these two characters are together, they're gonna figure out how to get from B to C. And like there's always something moving you forward. Like I remember walking out of that movie and being like so pleasantly surprised, because I don't think there was like that much hype for the movie either. Like I recall going into the I saw this movie like midday. Like I was waiting to get like my car fixed, and they're like, "Oh, it's gonna be, like 8 hours or whatever." And I was like, "Oh, let me go to the movies." And I saw the movie. I was just like, "This is great! Like, I hope more people are talking about this." Like,
But you know, it's a Star Trek movie that's not necessarily made for Star Trek fans. But I
right.
think if you're open-minded enough to just enjoy life, I mean, why not get joy out of it? It's obviously a very fun movie. Like Like, look, I mean, one of the flavors of Star Trek, right, is that it could be very contemplative and have something to say, morally, ethically, philosophically. But I don't think that precludes it from having fun. And, that's what this movie wanted to do. It wanted to have fun.
Yeah, wanted to have a little fun, establish new versions of old characters,
Yeah.
and set up a new world, which I think it they're still talking
Yes.
about doing a fourth movie. I don't know if that's ever going to happen,
Yeah, it's been
but
a while since the third.
the three movies we got have been pretty good. And to what you
Yes.
were saying before, the weakest one I think in most people's minds is the second one, Into Darkness, because that's the only one that strays like too close. It gets a little too close to like being a total retread of Wrath of Khan.
Yeah. For me, I like that one a lot. For me, the third one is to me the weakest. But in general, I
Ah.
like this series, and I do wish there was a fourth one. I'd love to see a fourth one.
I think they nailed the cast. Like the
Yeah,
cast is,
Carl Urban, I
yeah.
think. I was today. I was looking at Carl Urban, and I was like, what he's doing is kind of corny. He's kind of doing a DeForest Kelly impression, but I also was won over by it because he's so doing it. Like it,
Yeah.
you get the feeling like he could have done anything. He could have been like the sexy McCoy, and the actor was like, you know what? I'm gonna be McCoy, and he really does it in an almost like selfless way. Like really goes for it, and I think he's obviously having a lot of fun doing it too.
Oh yeah, and I think I just think everyone like was just it was just a well-cast cast. Like I think you couldn't like Kirk was cast very well, but I think in a way that he wasn't doing it, like sort of opposite to what you're saying about Bones,
Yeah.
Chris Pine was not doing an impression of William Shatner.
At all. Not at all.
And I'm glad that Star Trek has kept up with that, where they haven't looked to see like, oh, we're going to get the next William Shatner. Because even in Strange New Worlds, like they have a Kirk in that, but he's like almost nothing. Like
He's
he
very
gets the
different.
mannerisms, but he's very different.
Right. He's very he at first I almost complained about it. I was like, why? But now I see like the brilliance of it. 'Cause it's just like he's the character, not the actor who's playing the character. What do
Right.
you think about Zachary Quinto's Spock? Because I'm torn about it. I don't he's doing this high pitched, and I'm not the first person to make this criticism. He's doing this high pitched voice, which is not necessarily his own real voice. And I don't totally get it, especially because Spock obviously has a low voice. And we see Leonard Nimoy in this movie, and he interacts with Leonard Nimoy in this movie. I don't understand. It's a weird choice that I don't know if I like.
I think it is interesting because like I think the Spock's voice just in general is one of those, it's almost like a Mandela effect. Like if you told someone to do a Spock impression, I bet like 7 out of 10 people who know who Spock is would not like they would not think to go like they wouldn't think to go low with it. So I think they were in directing Zachary Quinto's voice, I think they had him sort of do just sort of more of like the general Spock impression. Because
He's
whereas
kind
I
of
think
doing like
in
a
Strange New
nerd
Worlds,
impression. Like,
he's
I'm a
doing a nerd
nerd.
impression of Spock.
Right.
Whereas I think the guy on Strange New Worlds is doing like you can tell he's doing a low register Spock. Like he's got
Yeah.
it. He's got
But
it a
that's
little close.
Ethan Peck, and he's the grandson of Gregory Peck, who
Yeah.
was also an actor who had a very deep voice. So it's sort of
Yeah.
natural to him. I like Ethan Peck's Spock a lot more than Zachary Quinto's Spock. This movie does something interesting where, for a long time, crazy old Gene Roddenberry was like, we gotta do Star Trek babies. We gotta do them in the Academy. And it was kind of always like, get out of here, Grandpa. But this movie kind of does it a little bit. It begins with both Kirk and Spock as kids and kind of how they're both kind of outsiders. Spock is picked on because he's half human and he has emotions, but he tries to hold them back. And and of course, Kirk is like his dad died and he grew up with his mom and some, I guess, some shitty stepdad. So first time we see him as a kid, he stole a car and he's listening to Sabotage and he fucking drives his stepdad's car classic car off a fucking cliff, and then 2009 slow-mo jumps out of it. And it really says like these two are the protagonists together. They're very similar, but also like them growing up and them it's sort of like a germ of that old idea, the Academy idea is in there.
Yeah, it's funny because now they're doing the Starfleet Academy show.
Is that going to be in that time period, or is it Academy, or is it like a different time period, just different new cadets and stuff?
It's going to be at the very end of the timeline, like where Discovery left off.
That's good. So you're in fresh territory.
Yes, that's exactly my thoughts exactly. I think that was a great call by them
Yeah.
because it frees them up to like, okay, what if people fall in love with these characters? And they've already said it's getting a season two, so like they're very high on this show. Like
Okay.
they must know something we don't. But like in any case, they like you could fall in love with these characters, and then now you could go from okay, like some of them are gonna. Like you could be up to like season four of Starfleet Academy, still have new people coming into that show, but like grow people out of that show and put them into like their own different show.
Right. It's what I wish Star Wars would do. And it's what they said they were going to do with that Rey movie, but they've been through so many writers and directors at this point. I think it's probably going to be soft canceled. The amount of shit that Star
Yeah.
Wars announces and sometimes even makes like promotional
It's insane.
material for and then cancels is insane. The Rey movie hasn't officially been canceled yet, but it seems like it. It
Like, is
seems
that
like
Lando series still happening?
that's also not officially been canceled. But it's never happening. It's never happening.
Star Wars has a very long history of like, because remember in the mid 2000s, they're like, we're gonna do like the first live action Star Wars show. And they
Yes.
filmed like a bunch of episodes, they filmed like a full season, and it still has not seen the light of day anywhere. Like, they
And that was
just
under
scrapped the whole thing.
Lucas.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, yeah, that was like about smugglers or something. Or am I thinking about that video game? There
I
was a.
don't think anyone knows what that series was gonna be. All they knew was that like it was being filmed. I think like maybe like some costume tests leaked, but like
That's
other
crazy.
than that, like because
Yeah.
remember the big deal was they said we're filming a full season and it's gonna be. I think they had said it was maybe gonna be on like Spike TV.
TV for men.
Yeah, right up there with Schiaparella and Yari the Rat.
Yeah, what a network. This movie's the first time, I mean maybe not the first time, but it's the first time I ever saw Chris Hemsworth as Kirk's dad.
Yeah.
Very
Yeah, that
young.
was very young
Yeah.
pre-Thor.
Yeah, very yeah, way before Thor. Yeah, and
And a great opening scene.
yeah, I think so too. Yeah. And that's why it's called the Kelvin timeline because he's on the ship called Kelvin.
Yeah.
And he's being he of course is he Kirk is being born at the exact same time that his father is taking over the ship and sacrificing himself to save everyone who's escaping on pods so he could cover them as they escape. But I
Wasn't his
do
mom played by Winona Ryder?
no Spock's mom is Winona Ryder.
Oh, that's right. Interesting cameos in these movies. Isn't like Tyler Perry one of
Yes,
the.
Tyler Perry's like the head of Starfleet in like a couple
Yeah.
of them. Yeah, Winona Ryder's is it's sad because Winona Ryder, I like that she's back now. She had been there was Star Trek was the first thing she had done in a while, and then she's like, "I'm the old mom," and she's like 38 in it, which is,
Yeah.
and Spock's like a 30-year-old man, so it's a little bit of a bummer in that case.
Listen, shouldn't have shoplifted.
But I love her. I'm a wino
I
forever.
know. Oh, why?
What do you think about the having Spock and Uhura have a relationship?
I'm ambivalent on it. Like, I'm not against it. I'm not like overly enthused about it. I'm kind of just like, okay, like it's there. And lucky for those who are ambivalent or not that into it, to its credit, it never really dominates.
It doesn't add up to a whole bunch.
Yeah, like it doesn't dominate any real like key scenes of the movie,
Although I feel like
except for, I mean, there are moments, but like
it
it's not
sidelines
like
her a little
there.
bit, I think. It her she her character seems
Felt like we
less
got to give
developed.
her felt like we got to give her something to do. That's what it felt like.
Yeah, but I feel like it focuses her on him in a way that the character wasn't. I don't know. It seems unnecessary. It also, I guess they are trying to make him seem. I was gonna say it seems like something he wouldn't do, but I guess that he's really struggling with the human part of himself. In
But
it.
also, like, again, very 2009 thing that I don't know if they would do today. The power dynamic of like him being her like teacher.
Yes, and like she has this moment where they're all at the academy when the trouble starts, and they're like, "We all gotta get run to the ships, get your assignments." And she's put on a different ship, and then she comes up to Spock, and she's like, "I want to be on the Enterprise." And he was like, "I thought it would look bad if you were on the Enterprise." And she was like, "I want to be on the Enterprise." And then he puts her on the Enterprise, which is like, yeah, it's a little, it's weird. First of all, it's weird because she deserves to be on the Enterprise because she's that good, but she's not. He takes her off of it so it doesn't look bad on them or bad on him. And then, but then
Right,
she,
but if nobody
yeah,
knows that they're dating, then why would it look bad unless everyone knows that they're dating?
right. It's a little, and I'm trying to remember if it continues in the next two in any significant way.
What isn't the next one? I don't know if it's two or three, where it's like, oh, they're on the outs, like they're not really
I don't
together
remember.
anymore.
I've only seen the third one Beyond once. I have to rewatch it. We'll eventually do it on the show.
Yeah.
What I was getting to before, which I got sidetracked, was Kirk. In the original show, Kirk's father did not die. He grew up in Iowa, and he went through the academy, he went through the ranks. But in this movie, having his father die and sacrifice himself, it makes Kirk more in line with the traditional or archetypal hero's journey, like that
Yeah.
the parents dead, and then he's lost, and then an old wise mentor calls them to action, which is in this case Pike, played by Bruce Greenwood. It makes him more of that almost like even like Christ-like figure, which is interesting because the original Kirk, more than look, obviously he kissed a lot of women and he was good looking, so he's a ladies' man, but he was also like very smart and thoughtful and obviously worked his way up the ranks. But this Kirk seems to like ass backwards fall into being a captain,
Yeah, he really
just
does
because he
it
has
the
a big
American
dick.
way. Yeah. Like he really just fail he fails upward.
He's like, "Got everyone, I got a big dick," and they're like, "All right, well, here, now you can be the captain."
Yeah, and it not even that, but it is funny how many times in this movie the way Kirk gets sort of promoted in quick real time, where it's like, oh, we can't have you do this, Kirk, and someone dies, like, oh, well, you're the only one here. Like, I guess we're gonna promote you now. Like, you have the con. Like, the amount of times they say you have the con in this movie.
Right, he's a stowaway because he's suspended for
Yeah, he's not even
sitting on the
supposed to be
Kobayashi
there.
Maru, but then Bones sneaks him on by giving him
To drug him.
he gives him a vaccine that gives him. But the vaccine will give him, I think RFK wrote this movie. He gives him a
Yeah.
vaccine, and the vaccine gives him symptoms. So he's like, "Oh, he's sick." Starfleet regulation says that you have to listen to the orders of his physician, and I'm his physician, so he's got to come on board. So he gets snuck on board. Oh, by the way, he's called. Oh, look. See, this is the. Remember in Solo, everyone hated when Han Solo goes to the Empire and he's like, "What's your last name?" And he's like, "I don't have one." And he's like,
You're Han Solo then.
"Yeah, you're Solo." And everyone's like, "This is awful." In this movie, when we meet Bones, he's talking about his ex-wife and how she took everything. And he goes, "She left me nothing but my bones." And it's like, isn't his nickname Bones because he's a doctor? Like, why are you giving me a new reason why they call him Bones? No one ever was up late going, "Why do they call him Bones? I need to know."
Yeah.
He's a doctor. That's why they call him Bones. I don't need that. See, that's the prequel shit that everyone hates. You know what I mean?
Yeah, like, oh, we gotta. Yeah, you're right. Like, we were all wondering. We
Why
all
is he
needed to
called
know.
Bones? They never told me. You know who else is doing a great job is Simon Pegg as Scotty.
Oh, he's having a lot of, he's having tons of fun.
He's having tons of fun, and his the accent is great. He's got such
Another
energy.
nitpick that I don't care about, but apparently a lot of people got very hurt about, was the engine room looking like a submarine engine room.
I remember I had an argument with someone I know who was like a true dyed-in-the-wool Trekkie from his whole life, and he was like, "It looks like an engine room from a steamship." And it's like, "All right, I get it. It's supposed to be a warp core, whatever." But fucking JJ don't think that way. JJ just wants to do the set piece where they are beamed in, but by accident, Scotty's beamed inside the water tank, and Kirk has to. It's all
Yeah,
kinetics
maybe there is a warp core somewhere that we didn't see. That
Maybe in the
but like
Kelvin
they but they
timeline, there
landed in the
is.
coolant, but like they landed in the coolant system where the water is cool. There's your answer. There's your fake answer, so you can fucking enjoy this movie.
You know, look, PCMC is a place of love for nerds and fans and fandom. But the type of one of the things about fandom that I always hate is when people are super OCD about it. And I have diagnosed OCD. I take medicine for OCD. Like I have pro like I can't like if there was a napkin on the floor, I wouldn't be able to think about anything else but the napkin on the floor. But I don't have this when it comes to fandom. Like I always get so annoyed with like oh, I forget his name. There's that guy who works for Lucasfilm who's the head of the story group. And on Twitter, he's constantly answering continuity questions. Like, well,
Oh, yeah.
if in episode three, R2-D2 and Obi-Wan having a relationship, why when he sees them in episode four? And to this guy's credit or discredit, whatever you want to think, he always comes up with some bullshit answer. And it's like, well, did that make you happy, that bullshit answer?
Right. Right, like
Because you know.
someone gave you the answer, but like it still might not be your answer.
And you know in your heart, as a grown-up person, the reason is because Star Wars was made in 1977 and Episode 3 was made in 2007. That's why. They're not
Yeah.
real, so the continuity will mi there'll be mistakes. A lot of people really dislike the Obi-Wan show, and I like it, but I understand why people don't like it because it breaks continuity. It bends continuity so much it breaks it. There's even a point because he goes on an adventure with little baby Princess Leia, which is ridiculous. And then
Right.
at the end, he goes, "By the way, if we ever meet again, pretend like you don't know me, just for your safety." And it's like, fuck all the way off.
Well, yeah, that's an example of like you said, the like continuity going too far, where it's like, come on, pretend you don't know me so we can have this new adventure. At that point, just make a new adventure, make a new character at that point. Like, that's an example of like, you don't need to have Princess Leia be the little girl in this situation. You could have had her just be like some alien girl that on this specific adventure, Obi-Wan had to take care of.
But getting back to Star Trek 2009, what they do by having this be a different timeline is it's no longer a prequel because you no longer are going, okay, these characters will eventually get to the adventures I've seen.
Right.
Everything's different now. They could die, they could live, they could have entirely different experiences because this is an alternative universe. So it's no longer a prequel. We don't have to eventually get to the original Star Trek, which is freeing because that's the problem with prequel stories, which is the stakes are often low if this character lives and this character dies.
Yeah.
What else we got going on in this? How do you feel about Nero, the Romulan villain?
I think he's fine. Again, I'm kind of like what I said at the beginning. I don't think this story was not dependent on like having like a really kick-ass villain. It's more about the characters and the setup and it shows in the movie because like he's there in the background. They cut back to him every so often, but he's not like part of the main meal. Like it's not one of those movies where like you go in and you're like, man, I'm watching. It's not like going into the Dark Knight and being like, half the fun is seeing who's playing the Joker.
I agree with you. I agree with you. He makes the plot happen.
Yeah.
And I do think Eric Bana does a good job playing him, although he has a sort of odd accent as Nero. It is cool that it's Romulans as the villains. But yeah, I agree. Although I would take him over F. Murray Abraham. I would take him over Tom Hardy. I'd take him over a lot of the most previous, the most recent villains in this film series.
Yeah, I would agree. I don't know about Tom Hardy. Well, yeah, I guess Tom Hardy.
Why
I'm just showing my soft spot for Tom Hardy.
you have a greater affinity for him than me. I'm perplexed by Tom Hardy in that movie. Here we got Tyler Perry, which I remember in 2009 people laughing when he came on screen. Like,
It
is it
was
a
just so weird to see Tyler Perry.
right? Because Tyler Perry like produces and directs all his own shit, so just to see him in a role. But he was also Baxter Stockman in the Michael Bay Ninja Turtles. Remember that?
Yeah, what a he's got weird acting choices.
He's like, I will only be random characters in nerdy shit. I love the score to this movie, by the way. The
Oh,
dun
it's
dun
great.
dun 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 dun. And they keep that as a consistent theme throughout these three movies.
You know, the score is good. Everything looks good. It looks like $1 million. Like it's just to like wrap it all up. Like it's just a fun movie. Like it's kind of like what it's exactly what the doctor called for. Like at that point in time with Star Trek, at a time when Enterprise had been canceled for a couple of years at that point, they were sort of looking to ramp down everything and be like, and okay, what do we do next? Like that movie was a good way of sort of getting people back interested in Star Trek. And we see where that led because now, Paramount Plus, like they have tons of Star Trek. There's no shortage of Star Trek going on. Like we just talked about, they got this Starfleet Academy show. Lower Decks has one more season going on. Strange New Worlds has at least two more seasons, like and
Yeah,
probably
they
more
haven't
after
said anything
that.
about when it's ending.
Yeah.
And Strange New World is it's fucking great. You know, it's interesting. Strange New Worlds really takes the character of Nurse Chapel, who was like a semi-regular repeating character in the original series, and makes her into like a full-fledged ensemble cast member in Strange New Worlds. But it's so funny because in this movie, she's not even in it. Bones calls her name, and you hear someone off screen go, "Okay." And it's like you see, I guess it's very easy to compare Strange New Worlds and this. And I think that they exist in the same world, and I think one leads to the other. But the choices I think are so much better in Strange New Worlds. Like Bruce Greenwood is Pike, they make him like such an old man. Whereas I like the hot, super sexy Pike of Strange New Worlds. And I like their chapel, and I like their. You know, I don't know. I just think that's an awesome show.
Yeah, let's go watch Strange New World.
When is it coming back?
I think January.
That's not close enough for me. Oh, this movie has a 2000. This movie has a genuine mid-2000 Skybeam.
What?
Skybeam. The villain uses a beam of light from the sky. Think about this. Think about Man of Steel. This was like the villain has a Skybeam.
Oh, yeah, the red shit.
It's a very 2009 thing to do.
Yeah, oh my God, that I've never thought about. Holy fuck.
There's a
I've
lot.
never thought about that before. Now, like, all the movies that do it are flooding into my head.
I'm surprised you
Thor
never
did
thought of
it.
that meme. Yeah, Sky. It's a very yeah. Avengers does it. The first Avengers movie does it.
Avengers does it.
You got a sky beam. Nothing like a sky beam. I like that the film ends with Leonard Nimoy doing the classic Star Trek monologue of Space, the Final Frontier. It's brilliant because he's there. So it's like, we got him. He's in this movie. And he's got a great voice. Let's let him do it. And they save it for the end, which I think is smart. Let's see. There is a lot of fighting in this movie. Lots of fisticuffs. What do you think of Sulu? He kind of doesn't do a lot in this movie.
He doesn't do a lot, but that's fine. What they do have him do, I think is good enough. They give him a couple good fight scenes where he's got to
He
rescue
has a
people.
sword. He talks about being a fencer and he fights with a sword. So
Yes,
that's a
I like that they
callback.
did that callback to the
Yeah.
series.
I think Anton Yelchin as Chekhov is very good.
Yeah, he really nails those nuclear vessels.
Yeah. Rest in Paradise. Died very young. What else we got here? Okay. So we've talked about every Star Trek movie in chronological order. How would you rank this movie, 2009, amongst the originals?
Amongst all of them up to this point.
Yes. And you don't have to rank them all, but you know, some would say, oh, it can't, it's not there at all. Some would say it's better. Some
It's like top tier, some
yeah, like
lower
what
tier.
would you put it in your top three? Would you put it in your how does it fit?
I would say it's in the upper echelon.
Okay.
I would say it's in the cat, it's just underneath 2, 6, and First Contact.
Okay. Yes, I would agree. It's beneath those, and I would
But it's
add
like
one to
far
that
and
because I really like
above.
one. But it's
That's
definitely better
fair.
than like Insurrection.
Yeah.
Definitely better than that. Definitely better than that. All right, Vin. We did it. We didn't go through the whole story, but I, you know, there's not a ton of story to go through.
Yeah, no, go watch the movie. Like, if you're listening to this, like, it's
Yeah.
probably better we didn't go through the story. Go discover it for yourself. Go see the magic and wonder of a movie that, when you look back on the history of big budget cinema, is going to have a very prominent place for, again, like we said, one, setting the blueprint for the soft reboot era of franchise movies,
Yeah.
and also setting up a completely different resurgence of Star Wars. Because
That's
without this
true.
movie, you absolutely do not get, this was like his test footage for,
Yes.
this is his like
Do you
test
remember
for
when William
getting Star
Shatner
Wars.
called him a pig? Do you remember that? William Shatner was like, J.J. Abrams is a
Vaguely.
pig because he directed Star Wars and Star Trek.
Okay, Will.
Shatner hates a lot of this stuff. Like, even though like he'll show up places and stuff, and I guess
That's what I'm
sometimes he'll play
saying. So, like, who
nice.
is he to be like,
I
oh, you
know.
shouldn't do both? It's like, you fucking avoided conventions for years. Like, you
Right.
thought they were lame. You did that sketch on Saturday Night Live where you were like, get a life.
Yeah. Well, since we're talking about franchises and we're talking about Chris Pine, I am the only person in the world that absolutely loved the Dungeons and Dragons movie. And I thought it
Apparently,
was,
people loved it. I
it's
don't think you're
such
the
a
only one
fun
of them.
time. Vin, have you seen it?
No, but I've heard nothing but like really fun rave reviews about
Check
it.
it out. It is such a fun time. And I don't know what a movie needs to do now to be successful, but I guess it wasn't successful enough to do more. But God, I wish it was the beginning of a franchise because it was so fun. You know, like there's a weird category of like movies that are good that were meant to be franchise starters, but for some economic reason didn't. Like Detective Pikachu. Where's that
Yeah.
fucking Pokemon cinematic universe?
Detective
Where is
Pikachu
it?
could do a whole episode. We should probably do an episode on Detective Pikachu because it really came out of nowhere. Because when we saw it, when you actually see the movie, okay, let me back up for a second. So you hear the idea of Detective Pikachu
Yes.
and you hear it's based
Which
off
is
like the
based on a
video
game,
game that they did.
yeah.
You're thinking like, okay, it's gonna be like this fun little cutesy one-off. But then you see like the money they poured into it and like the world building, and
It's
it's like, no,
yeah.
this is the world that you. Like, if you're doing more Pokemon movies, like, this is the universe that you put it in.
Right. Like I'm not even a Pokemon fan because of my age. I was a little bit, it didn't catch me. I was a little above it, older than it. But even as a not Pokemon fan, like the movie's amazing just for seeing live action Pokemon. And they got
Yeah.
that so right. And I like, okay, it's almost like 4 or 5 years ago now. Where is it? Like, that's it? You're not gonna do more? And do another Dungeons and
Well,
Dragons. Gosh darn it. It was so good.
it
Vin, it's always a pleasure to have you here. Thanks for being here in these hard times. Everyone, go. Watch the stuff. Go watch and read the stuff that you love. And then go out tomorrow and fucking fight the fight.
Yeah.
Then we end the episode by saying,
Go bye-bye.